You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6, what happens when two women whose past connects them to those enslaved and those who owned slaves come together to tackle their shared history? Hear that story today at 6 on 1A+. Now, going on dates can be difficult in normal times, but the pandemic has made things even more complicated. Despite that, many people are choosing to try to make it happen anyway, maybe more deliberately and with more safety precautions than before, using online apps, online dates, even some in-person meetups. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been doing any form of dating in the last few months, or someone you know, perhaps? Did you join an app for the first time? If you're a frequent user of the apps, have you noticed changes in how people interact? Even if you just joined up and haven't gone on dates or anything, like to hear your experience, call on 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Skylar Wang is a PhD candidate who studies the sociology of online dating at the University of California, Berkeley. He teaches a university seminar called What Makes Us Click? The Sociology of Online Dating. He's also mentored individuals on online dating usage. Skylar, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, good to be back.
And Lisa Bonos is with us. She writes about relationships and dating at the Washington Post. Lisa, good to have you back as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start, Lisa, with you. And can you share some observations, things that you've seen changing in the dating world, online or not, since the pandemic began? What kind of things have you seen in your own reporting?
Yeah, the biggest change is that people are waiting a lot longer to meet up in person. They are either having phone calls or video dates before meeting up in person because that's safer. Whereas before, I think like in February, if you would have asked somebody, like, would you like to go on a FaceTime date before an actual date? It'd be unlikely that the other person would say yes. So that's the biggest change right now.
Are people maybe more likely to try a first date? You can throw that in quotes if you want, Lisa, if they don't have to make that time commitment of going to a place and showing up.
I mean, it's still a little awkward to do a video date. People are saying it's not as awkward as they thought it would be, but I am also hearing from a lot of daters who are definitely not interested in doing it. So it's not a shoo-in that somebody wants to be video dating right now. And you also think about how much time we're already spending on video, but it is easier when you actually go on the date, right? You only have to look nice from the waist up. You don't have to go anywhere other than your couch. You don't have to pay for anyone other than yourself. And then when you go home, it's just, you just are already home. So it can be easier, but it doesn't mean everybody wants to do it.
And Skylar, what are some things you're seeing change over the last 6 months in the online dating world?
Yeah, I think in general, you know, there's a sort of motivational expansion that's going on. I think people are dating for more reasons now. It's not really just, you know, people are looking for serious relationships. There's a lot more talk about just finding companionship just to weather through COVID, you know? So I think, you know, there's an expansion of what is to be expected, an expansion of different possibilities and different desires. I'm also noticing that a lot of people who were previously hesitant or resistant to online dating are actually flocking to dating apps and dating sites. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, if these people previously had stigmatized views on online dating, now it's not really something that they can really think about anymore, just because, you know, you can't go to the bars, you can't go to restaurants to meet people organically anymore. So everyone has to go online to date. And also, you know, the whole like, oh, I don't want to tell people that we met online kind of a thing doesn't really matter anymore, because you know, it's not that embarrassing to say we met through Tinder during COVID, because that's the only available way for people to date nowadays.
Now, Skylar, I think people are faced with a paradox of choice, whether they're in a cereal aisle or on an online dating website, this thought that, you know, I've got the whole world in front of me on my screen, potentially. How am I going to find the right perfect person? Are people more willing to, I don't know, I don't want to use the word settle, but I'll say settle in hopes of finding that that companionship that they're really desperate for during COVID?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the million-dollar question. And, you know, that's a question I'm trying to figure out in my own research as well. You know, dating the past used to be a lot simpler in the sense that you had access to your immediate networks, right? You were dating people in your neighborhoods, you were dating people you were working with or you went to school with. But now, you know, with online dating, distance isn't a problem anymore. You have access to a lot more people, right? So that paradox of choice question is definitely something that a lot of online daters are having to deal with. And, you know, when it comes to settling, you know, during COVID, I think a lot of people have basically expanded their criteria. And a lot of people have done so pretty dramatically. You know, if they weren't okay with dating a certain type of people before, you know, now with COVID, they tend to be a lot more open-minded. You know, I have clients and I have friends who are dating people who are not even in the U.S. That's something that they weren't even thinking about before COVID. But now, you know, I have a friend who's in this long distance relationship with a guy in Brazil, and they seem to be doing really well. So, yeah.
We were talking about dating online and maybe even in person during the COVID-19 pandemic. We have Skylar Wang with us from the University of California, Berkeley, Lisa Bonos from The Washington Post, and you, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. If you are in the dating world right now yourself, love to hear your story of how you're trying to manage this, or if someone close to you is, maybe a kid, a loved one, a parent, call in, share how it's going. 800-642-1234. Lisa, there's a lot of milestones in relationships, you know, a first date, meeting family, whatever. Now there's this milestone that I don't think people thought about before. Am I ready to introduce this person in my circle of possible disease transmission? How are people juggling this?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to one dater in Washington, D.C., who before she went on a first date, asked her roommates, she lives in a group house with several other people, if it was okay to kiss her date if it was going well. And, you know, that's not normally something that people would discuss ahead of time. You know, people are adding partners to their bubbles, that sort of thing. I mean, I think there's also all kinds of milestones, right? I'm seeing someone and he at one point gave me a face shield that he had bought a bunch of face shields and I was going to be getting on a flight and he was, you know, said that he was going to give me one.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, I think PPE has become the new bouquet of flowers.
Wow. Okay. Skylar, how are you seeing people? Lisa had mentioned earlier, maybe a little more conversation online. Like, we've got this automatic icebreaker now. I've seen people talking about this. Oh, it's your job, your education, whatever. And now it's, you know, there's something built in to talk about. How are you seeing those first conversations for the people you work with who do online dating?
Yeah, I think, you know, for a lot of people, especially heterosexual men, you know, all of a sudden they're finding that they need to put in a lot more effort into, you know, crafting meaningful messages now. Just because, you know, pre-COVID, the idea is to, you know, just have one or two sort of openers and then set something up quickly and then go meet in person. But now, you know, because of how prolonged the virtual part of it is going to be, and so people are putting a lot more effort. And it's definitely challenging, you know, for a lot of people around me. You know, they're finding it hard to find interesting things to talk about. Even when they're doing virtual dating, you know, it's like you're just staring at a person. Like, you know, that's why I always tell them, you know, don't just like, even when you're like dating offline, dating pre-COVID, you're not just like sitting at a restaurant and having wine and just like staring at the person's face, right? You're sort of like talking about the food, you're sort of sharing a common experience, which is why I say, you know, when you're doing a virtual date, you know, maybe watch a movie together or play a game, you know, an online game or something, because through this shared activity, you can basically assess compatibility and chemistry. So there are like definitely creative ways to strike up, you know, a good conversation and find meaningful activities to you know, make your dating experience more fun.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth is with us in Dubuque. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. I was curious as to when you guys are talking about the social distancing dating, doing the FaceTime dating, what age group are you technically talking about? I am a 25-something-year-old. I'm married. My other girlfriends are all single, and I feel like they're dating more now because of COVID. People are still doing the FaceTime dates. That's after they met somebody in person to see if they really connect. I mean, they social distance and stuff. Like, oh, the person I'm talking to, they haven't been around a whole lot of people, so they're safe. But at the same time, I feel like people are dating more right now. I'm just a little curious as to, like, the age frame you're looking at.
Interesting, Elizabeth. Thanks for sharing the example from your circle of friends. Lisa, do you see differences by age in how people are managing dating during COVID?
Not especially. I mean, it sort of depends on what someone's living situation is right now, I think, right? I generally speak to daters, you know, from their 20s to their 60s is kind of what's been what the conversations I've been having recently. And, you know, some people in that age range might be living with parents who are high risk, or their children are around, and so they don't have a lot of privacy. So I'm seeing all sorts of things, but generally the FaceTime dates are happening before the social distanced dates in person, if that's what she was asking about as well.
And Skylar, once upon a time, I think the stereotype of online dating would have been younger people and younger people only. I'm guessing that hasn't been true for some years now. What are you seeing now when it comes to the age breakdown of people going online and dating?
Yeah, I think there's an uptick in all demographics, really. A lot of, you know, young people, old people, they're all online dating. But I would say that, yes, the sort of main demographics would still be sort of young adults, you know, people between the age of 18 to about 34. A lot of them are sort of, if you're looking at proportions, you know, a lot of them are trying online dating. A lot of them are in relationships with partners that they found online. And there are more marriages that are happening in this age group as well. And so, yeah, so, you know, the sort of trend that the listener, also the caller, identified is certainly accurate. I think a lot of younger people are actually going on, you know, these in-person socially distanced dates. But it does depend so much on the state you're in, the country you're in, your living situation. But I would say, yeah, in general, younger people's risk factors are lower than people who are older. So they're more willing to go out and potentially expose themselves.
We're talking about dating during the pandemic. Skylar Wang is with us from University of California, Berkeley. Lisa Bonos, columnist on relationships and dating at The Washington Post. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What has your dating experience been like, if any, in the last few months? Have you been on any apps, on any in-person dates? How do you take the step from virtual to in-person with safe distancing? Call in at 800-642-1234. And do you think the pandemic has made you want maybe different things out of a relationship? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how the pandemic has impacted dating. Lisa Bonos is with us. She writes about relationships and dating for The Washington Post. Skylar Wang studies the sociology of online dating at the University of California, Berkeley. You can join in with your thoughts, questions, maybe experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Al is with us in Eau Claire. Al, hi.
Hi, how you doing? My experience, this is my wife and I met each other over 20 years ago when we first started our relationship. And this is like pre-MySpace. We were on the phone and it was long distance. And tell you the truth, we got to know each other really well, just concentrating on each other, talking to each other, and getting to know each other without all the distractions of everything else, of the pub scenes or the club scenes or wherever you're at. I'm wondering, are the younger people now in this dating time, are they finding that experience as well, where they get that opportunity?
That's interesting. Al, thank you so much. And I imagine you're still paying off those phone bills if that was 20 years ago. So Skylar, Al is saying, you know, he did it pre-computer a little bit, but found it really valuable to have those focused conversations without all the distractions. Are people online, especially maybe now when they only are having that, finding similar stories?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's just really hard to not be distracted, you know, when you're online dating, right? Because like I've said, you know, previously, you know, even like I've seen or I've, you know, talked to friends who are basically swiping during dates, right? They'll go on a date, maybe they'll take a bathroom break, and in the bathroom they're swiping away, right? So there's just so many, you know, ways to be distracted. And I do think that you know, every generation, they feel like their love is perhaps more unique or more special than the generation that's sort of, you know, after theirs. And I think, but for me, you know, personally, I just feel like it's different, right? You know, we have different technologies. We have, you know, culturally right now, you know, how people meet each other is very different from how it used to be. And I don't know if one is good or one is bad, but, you know, I just think it's a different sort of social phenomenon that we're living through. But I would still say that, you know, a lot of people are finding very meaningful relationships, are finding partners, and fulfilling whatever they want to seek for.
Interesting. And Lisa, do you, as you reported this, do you find people making that value judgment like, oh, hey, this, you know, more time online before meeting is a good thing, a bad thing, or just different?
I don't know. I think they're just seeing this is the only option, right? This is the safest way to do it, is to talk online for a long time. I mean, one couple that stands out to me is a woman in Washington and a man who was living outside the area but was going to be moving to the Washington area. And they spoke over Skype or virtually every day for months before he did move nearby. And they then when they were, you know, able to see each other in person, neither of them has a car and they were both walking far distances to see each other. And so that is a lot of investment to put in someone that you haven't met yet. And that's kind of what's required to be dating right now and to eventually see someone in person. So I am seeing encouraging examples like that.
Let's go back to our callers. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Two things to say, actually. I had a partner tell me that they would want to stay with me if the world ended because I was taking good care of a sourdough starter and I knew how to pickle and ferment a bunch of different vegetables. And I've heard people sort of idolize the way dating was done in the past where like, oh, it was more organic and you would meet in person and stuff. But, you know, I think our grandkids are going to lionize the way that we dated now in their past, because you always look back at your grandparents and think that like, oh, that's the way it should have been done. But everyone does it different.
John, thanks a lot for the call. So, yeah, nostalgia sometimes maybe makes us think something different. But I love that idea about the sourdough there. Lisa, do you see people maybe changing what they value in a partner? Maybe it's a practical life skill like that or something else that would make us think about settling down with this person in a tough time.
For sure. I think people are reevaluating what they're looking for in a partner and seeing the qualities that actually do matter, right? Is someone a good communicator? That's really important right now because so many of us are essentially in long distance relationships, regardless of how far away we live from each other. And, you know, I'm reminded at the beginning of the pandemic of a friend who said that their grandparents met at a party during the 1918 flu. You know, I mean, we're now someday, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing. You could meet someone at a picnic these days, right? And isn't that the same kind of meeting in very similar circumstances, 100 years apart?
And Skylar, do you see, especially in the online world, actually people changing their priorities for what they're looking for in a potential partner?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think a lot of people are expanding, you know, like I said, their criteria pretty dramatically, I would say, simply because, you know, like Lisa said, you know, it doesn't matter if they're down the street or if they're, you know, all the way in Tokyo, right? Right now, everything is sort of long distance. So yeah, and also because, you know, more people are sort of, you know, looking for companionship rather than actual relationship formation as well. So people are taking their times and so their own time to sort of get to know people. And perhaps, you know, there are a lot more friendships that come out of, you know, COVID dating rather than actual kind of formative relationships.
Lisa, in our last couple of minutes, do you see maybe some of what people are doing now when it comes to dating sticking around even after, and hopefully this comes soon, after we're not dealing with the worst of COVID-19?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, several daters have told me that they never want to go on a first date in person again, that the virtual thing is so much easier that they're just going to stick with that. it's hard to know what we will be doing, you know, in a year from now, but that was interesting to me. And I think, you know, the way that we're starting, daters are really getting to know each other on a deeper level before moving to the next stage of becoming physical or even meeting in person, that might stick around for a little while. Yeah.
And Skylar, can you hit us with some advice for someone who's maybe thinking about putting out their first profile or maybe updating it for the current era? What would you suggest to the aspiring online dater?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's really important to signal your hobbies and interests. That would be really helpful in terms of sort of just allowing someone to find a way to connect with you, not just, you know, so I was saying before, you know, talking to someone about who they are is a really difficult task, right? But it's a lot easier to experience something together, right? So if you're really into Codenames, which is a board game, you know, put that on your profile. You know, there are free versions that you can play with, you know, your friends or a potential date. Just be sort of really specific about what you like, what you enjoy doing in your free time. And that will help people sort of think about potential date ideas, different activities that you can do together. But yeah, and, you know, I encourage, you know, people who are able to go, you know, take a walk in a park, you know, with a potential date, do socially distancing, you know, activities outside. I think a lot of people are actually doing that right now and have been finding success.
We'll leave it there. Skylar, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Skylar Wang is a PhD candidate who studies the sociology of online dating at the University of California, Berkeley. He teaches, by the way, a university seminar there called What Makes Us Click? The Sociology of Online Dating. And Lisa Bonos writes about relationships and dating. You can follow her work at The Washington Post. They join us today to talk about what it's like to date during the pandemic. Still time for you to share your experiences, maybe your suggestions for others, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.